Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, 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 it's the big interview again, and as a special treat, we brought you not only a Premier League footballer, but a Champions League footballer, Pablo Zabaleta of Manchester City, who'll be going up against Barcelona again this week. We're talking to an Olympian, a guy who goes for burgers with Kobe Bryant, Olympic gold medalist Pablo Zabaleta, but somebody who'll also explain to us that life was hard for him right from the very earliest stages. He's had to struggle with emotional maturity, physical maturity, from his earliest days when his mother died when he was very young and he had to move to Buenos Aires. But along the way, that struggle, this sport of football that we love, has brought him joy. Imagine being an Argentinian who's lost in the World Youth Championship 2 years before and suddenly discovers that Messi exists. And he's very good, and he's Argentinian. Pablo tells us about that sensation. He also tells us about one of the great Premier League moments ever. Do you remember Kun Aguero? Martin Tyler shouting his name? Well, Pablo scored the forgotten goal that day, the beautiful goal that day. We're going to hear about the reason that Andres Iniesta raised his Spain jersey in the 2010 World Cup to reveal a homage to Danny Harkey, because Pablo Zabaleta was Danny Harkey's friend and teammate. But we start with Pablo happily describing that 2005 World Youth Championship, the semi-final in Utrecht against Brazil. And he's about to score a very important and very beautiful goal. And that's what you'll hear now. I'm really impressed, Pablo Zabaleta, that you're willing to welcome me twice to Manchester after the first time so many years ago when it was your English that got us through because my Spanish was so poor.
It's not.
That was the case then. So thank you. And we're back. We're back to talk to you as a footballer of great achievement. Hmm. And we want to do something we've never done before in an audio podcast and begin by showing you something. Begin by showing you you. And then we want to talk about it, because maybe this is your greatest goal ever. But once we show you it, we want to take you back to that occasion.
Under 20.
And we want to try to remember it and what it meant to you and the people around you, because it's a special goal and a special moment. Marno will play it now. So we're watching.
Yeah, a little bit unlucky there.
It's a brilliant strike. Let's establish.
Left foot. Let's say this. Brilliant left foot.
Nobody can see this that's listening to the podcast.
Maybe not the prettiest goal I have scored as a player, but it was an important one. And I will tell you something. I had the opportunity to play 2 years before that. On the 20s as well, we played in Abu Dhabi. And we lost against Brazil in the semi-final. So for me, that was an special game, because I said to the player before the game, I was the captain, and said, listen, that would be so frustrating for me personally to get beaten by Brazil. You know, between Argentina and Brazil,
there's rivalry.
Just about football, nothing else, because we go on holiday and we enjoy the weather in Brazil. It's a beautiful country, to be honest. But in football, it's a big, big game, so I say to the lads, listen, I cannot got beaten by Brazil twice in the same tournament. That would be frustrating. And sometimes on the 20, people underestimate this tournament, but you cannot realize how important that tournament is at that age, because you play only once. Then when you are over 20, you don't play this tournament anymore. Maybe I had the opportunity to play to eyes, but maybe a few players can do that. I think even Aguero, he was in this squad, and then he won also in Canada 2 years after that. So not many players can play two times the same tournament. But for me, it was like I cannot be beaten by Brazil twice as well. You know, I mentioned that before the game because for me it was an special moment because I was captain of the team and Messi was there. We were a really good team and it was a great opportunity at that age to go into the final and of course, try to win it. And then, of course, when he scored that goal, I think Messi scored a fantastic goal. The 1-0 was a great strike by Messi, left foot, top corner.
Coming in from the right.
No chance for the goalkeeper. It was fantastic. Then we concede by set pieces, 1-1, and I thought at the moment, oh, no, again, please. So when he scored that goal, even if it was not the greatest or the prettiest goal I ever scored, it was a huge, huge moment. And we celebrate that as a final, you know. It was a fantastic achievement then to beat Nigeria in the final. And it was fantastic, you know, at that age, I think you enjoy massively those moments. And also because then is the moment where you come to Euro to play a big tournament, people from different clubs going, you know, scouting, you know, sport directors going to watch those games and those tournaments. And it's a massive chance for everyone to show how good we can be to come to Europe, because for Argentinian players, young players, we can play a few years in the Argentinian league, but obviously you always have a dream to go to Europe and play in the biggest competitions, in the biggest league. So after that, I signed for the Espanyol and that was my new life in Europe.
Yeah. When you go to, we've spoken to, in this series, we've spoken to Xavi, but winning the same tournament, the World Youth Tournament in 1999 in Nigeria. Mm. We've spoken to Damien Duff, who I guess you probably played against in the Premier League, played for Chelsea, for Ireland. They went far there. They talked about what it changes you as a young man playing in the World Tournament under 20s. When you go to a foreign country, quite young guys. So you'd been to UAE before, 2 years before.
Yeah.
But still, you're in a completely different culture. Yeah. You're together. I guess there's not only the ambition to become a world champion, but there's a sense of adventure too, and a sense of curiosity about the country you're in, Holland in this instance.
Yeah.
It's new to you, it's different, and that opens your eyes and your ears, I guess, as a young footballer.
Yeah, of course, even playing in those stadiums for us is amazing as well, coming and spend 1 month too far away from our country, not having the chance to have your family close. Sometimes, you know, for European players, when they play in Europe, they have a chance maybe to bring more often their families, because it's not too far, you know, maybe in 2 hours' time you go in, from England to Spain or Germany, I don't know, everything is very close in Europe. And that tournament was in Holland, and it was so funny because even there was Wi-Fi, internet was, you know, the main thing for everyone. Everyone didn't have a laptop, you know, and we needed to buy a car, which was 10 euros, you know, for 1 hour to be connected on the internet. And for us to spend 10 euros converted to pesos, it was, you know, it was too much. And of course, in that message, you know, the chat, it was at that time massive, because you wanted to connect to the internet and speak to, you know, family and stuff. But to spend, I was not the tightest man in the squad, but for everyone, it was we were trying to buy between 4 and 5 players one car and using it
and sharing
the laptop, 10 minutes each player. And sometimes those kind of things, you know, make you appreciate sometimes how difficult things are for everyone. Nothing is so easy. And this is part of our life in South America. You know, nothing is so easy. You have to, you know, it's a big challenge for everyone. And you have to make a big effort sometimes to, first, to be disciplined when you are young, because in my case, when you are 12 or 13 years old, you have to move to a different city, in that case, Buenos Aires, where all the big clubs concentrate in one place, which is Buenos Aires, which is really big, and you have to leave your family when you're young and you have to go there, and then to be, as I say, be a professional, be disciplined of what you're doing, and then try to reach or play your first game with the first team, and then football continue, and then is the time. When I was 20, that was probably at that time, back in the days, having 20 years old, it was the moment where probably everyone was playing in the first division and then going to Europe. Now things seem to change a little bit. Sometimes now you see a young lad or at the age of 17 mm-hmm. playing in 10 games, doing well, and then the big clubs in Europe is going there to try to buy, and the club in Argentina selling
because they need the money.
Because they need the money.
Yeah.
But sometimes at the age of 17, you are probably mentally not well prepared to leave. As I say, one thing is, in my case, I left my home when I was 12, but I was in Buenos Aires, which is 2 hours away from that. So my family was going every weekend to see the games, and I could spend a few times with them.
This is for San Lorenzo?
But then, yeah, that was in San Lorenzo. But then when I went to Barcelona, it was 12 hours flight. It was not too close. And my family, my parents, they were working. When you go from, you know, South America to Europe, is a massive change. But mentally, you have to be well prepared for this. If not, it's, at the age of 20, your dreams, you know, all your energy, everything you got that, or you need to become, to have success in Europe, because you come in to play in the biggest competition with the greatest players around you, and you have to compete well enough to succeed.
You have to be like a man.
You have to be like a man at the age.
Emotionally, you're not. But then, if I judge it correctly, I wasn't going to ask about your youth, because there was a terrible time with your mother, a sore memory. But at 12, when you go from Arrecife to Buenos Aires, you have to behave like a 15 or a 16-year-old, because a 12-year-old alone in a city, maybe San Lorenzo were brilliant towards you, but I guess that they weren't hugging and kissing you all the time.
Yeah,
so you have to start to behave like a 15 or 16-year-old.
You have to mature quickly.
Very,
you know,
very
you have
hard.
You have to be very mature. And as I said before, you have to leave your profession. It's like, even if I'm not with my family here, I need to see all the effort they have done in the past for me. And now, because I'm not living with them, or because I'm alone in Buenos Aires, and because it's the biggest city, or because then when you sign your first contract and you start to have some money, you can buy your first car, or you can go to or rent some apartment. If you're not mature enough, you know, to manage those situations, could be, you know, a little bit...
You can lose your place.
High. You can lose your place, your brain, because how many times we've seen big talents, young players with probably more talents than myself in that time, and probably they were just thinking, oh, the first contract I would sign, I would buy that car, or playing in the game, just thinking which car I'm going to buy, or just playing in the game, which apartment or where I'm going to live.
There's an interesting contrast in that you, in 2005, coming to Holland, although you've been to UAE before, you're coming from Argentina to Europe. But if I understand it correctly, you've explained that Messi, who you named, and who made that little dancing run down the left, as well as his beautiful goal, this little guy holds off big old Ed Carlos in the penalty box to cross, because he sees your left foot coming and he knows, I'll put it on Pablo's left foot, it's going to be a beautiful moment. But this is a kid who you guys as a group didn't know about, because he'd done the reverse. Instead of going to Arrecife to Buenos Aires,
he'd
gone from Rosario
to Barcelona.
Is it the case that you didn't know this fella?
As I say, you know, I know Jorge, he's there, his family, and I think his family was a massive support for Messi when they left Rosario and they went to Barcelona. I think they had a very hard time at the beginning, because, you know, you don't know anyone, and you're a young lad with a big talent, but at the end of the day, your parents are there, your family is there with a different language, because even if you're in Spain, sometime in Catalonia, you go in school and you have to speak Catalan, and people find it struggling, even Spanish people.
It's not the same.
you know, very hard time, but the same thing. They were there. I remember the manager, Hugo Tocalli, when, well, it was Pancho Ferrara then, the manager, but the first time that we met Messi, the manager was talking about him. He was saying, we are looking to bring a young lad who is playing in Barcelona Academy. We heard about him, he's good, and we would like to have him in with us because we are just thinking Messi to at least 3 or 4 weeks with us before we play the tournament. And it was fantastic because we didn't know Messi. Nobody knew Messi at the time because we knew between each other because we were playing in the academies against all the time, or even spending 3 days a week training in Argentina, or 80-90% of the players that were playing in Argentina league. We knew each other, but nobody knew Messi. And that was fantastic the first night that we met him, because he was so quiet. He was in the dressing room, you know, he was sat down, not talking to anyone. And imagine Messi, he was very,
very thin, very slender.
Let's say exactly, no. But obviously then he started to talk on the pitch.
The thing that I think
it was amazing.
As you begin to remember it, you smile.
No, I smile because I remember exactly like it was yesterday, because it's one of those moments where something is a massive impact, you know, and someone will say, wow, that play is really, really good. We never thought it was that good. He came 3 days before he played his first game with us against, I think it was Paraguay, a friendly game in Argentina Juniors Stadium. And he came on in the second half. He played about 20-25 minutes, and he was dribbling people, you know, doing everything so easy. And we were really impressed about his quality. Then, of course, we went to the qualification tournament for the World Cup in Colombia. We finished third. He's done well also there, but he was more coming. He was not playing as a start in every game. He was more substitute, coming in the second half, fresh, you know, quick. And in that tournament, the first game, he was on the bench against USA. The first game he was on the bench, he came on in the second half. We lost 1-0. And, of course, he made the difference in the second half. And we thought, this guy has to play as a starting. You cannot have Messi on the bench. He's one of the best players we have in the squad. And then the second game, he played as a starting. And
he scored.
And then, well, we won that tournament because one of the reasons is because he was there.
See, the thing that while you're talking, I'm smiling too, because I don't, like, you've got this feeling, well, look at this kid, and he's Argentinian, so it's your country.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
But he's, they say patrimonio, don't they, in Spain? Like, in a way, for anybody who loves football, he belongs to them too, because he's no relation of mine. He's never going to win Aberdeen or Scotland the trophy.
Yeah.
But while he's still playing, we've been given the gift of being able to watch this. And the thing I said about making it made you smile is it's just joy watching him. Yeah. Whether he's your friend or whether he's your countryman or not, unless I suppose you play for Real Madrid.
Yeah,
it's just joy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think for everyone who loves football, I think is you know, it's fantastic to see Messi playing in every week. He broke all the records, he won everything with Barcelona. It was a shame that we lost the final in Brazil, the World Cup, in 2014, because maybe that Messi winning that tournament, I think it was
changes everybody's,
you know, something that it cannot do, you know, nothing else in football. But, you know,
but that's part of the reason I started with this, in that you're a winning group. What really makes me mad, because okay, against Chile, penalties, against Germany, 1-0. It could easily have been 1-0.
Yeah, we missed a few chances.
There's no difference.
Razor
difference between victory and defeat.
Yeah.
But you're a winning group. Because you win in 2005, beating Nigeria in the final. And then in the Olympics, for the third sort of tournament in a row for you,
it's
Brazil in the semi-final.
Brazil in the semi-final.
Nigeria in the final. I look at your group and I don't see the team that lost in the World Cup final, the team that lost in the Copa America final. I see a group that has won things, that has unified, to win an Olympic gold,
yeah.
which is still special, to be world champions, which Argentina hadn't done at 2005, the youth level, since 10 years before Maradona. These are special things. So I don't like... The reason I'm asking is, you regret losing the big finals, but you're a group of men, who a generation who've been winners.
Yeah, it was a great generation of players that we were together, you know, in so many times, like, as you say, the under 20, then we went to the Olympics, you know, the World Cup, then Copa America, both times. And it seems that it was a fantastic generation for Argentina, which, you know, we've been enjoying ourselves playing together, because I think it's something amazing or special when you... The same group of players been always involved in different and you know, the progress of all the players been fantastic. Yeah, it's been 11 years since that tournament, but it seems it was yesterday, you know. So great memories for everyone. But of course, in our country, it's not enough to reach the finals, you know. We are very demanding, because we sometimes Argentinians people we have too much passions, and sometimes we don't realize how difficult it is to reach a final. Sometimes you see a lot of big teams that they've been a lot of times so many years without playing a final in the World Cup, and for that group of players to be involved in that final in 2014, and then two times in the Copa America, which we were also unlucky because we lost the both finals on penalties. Sometimes, you know, it happens. But as I say, I think I'm pretty sure if you do ask to all the players if they are so happy of what we have done for the national team, all of them they would say, of course, we are very happy. But sometimes we Argentina we don't accept.
Can I
it's something that we're still looking forward to it.
But, okay, you don't accept, but also maybe the people around you, which is what I'm rebelling against, they don't appreciate.
Yeah, of course. There are a lot of people. No.
Tell me the feeling. You're like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
You're like Carl Lewis.
No. Yeah,
you're like
Gord
Beeman. You're an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, of course.
I want to know what that felt like.
And listen, all the time I've been watching now the Olympics games in Brazil, then before when they were in London, I was here. And every time now I see the Olympics games and some of... obviously, I don't watch every single sport. Sometimes you go three or four that are your favourites. But apart from that, when you see people just hanging the gold medal and crying and just thinking, not many people can say that. Every time when I go back home and I see the gold medal there in my house, I say, wow, this is... probably will never get a chance again to be in the Olympics Games, and that was the only time, and we took the opportunity, and that is something amazing. As I say, maybe football in the Olympics Games, you know, is something amazing. Look at Brazil, they were the only competition that they were looking for, and see the fans in the games, there were 60,000-70,000 fans waiting for Brazil to win it. Sometime in Argentina, you know, it's not the same. You know, it's under 23, only three major players, and the people expect, you know, this group of players to do the same thing in the World Cup and the Copa America. So, you know, as I said before, that's why it's very demanding.
Let's just say the word Russia and leave that aside. Mm. There's still time.
No, of course.
But we'll put that to one side.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah.
I want to praise your current manager, and it's an obsession of mine, so every guest is allowed to say, no, that's rubbish, Graham. Mm. Shut up, whatever, yeah, if you want. When you're waiting to go to Beijing as a group of players,
yeah,
Barcelona says Messi can't come. He's not allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
And FIFA and the Olympics in Argentina say he must come. And it goes to the sport court. And the sport court says, Barcelona, you're right. It's not a FIFA tournament. It's not in the calendar. He can't go.
Yeah.
And Pep is the new coach in St Andrews. First summer.
Yeah.
First time he's been a senior coach ever. And his club has gone to the court to say, we keep Messi. And Pep says, I'm in charge. I won the gold. I know the importance. Yeah. He's going. And he sends him to the other side of the planet with a Champions League qualifier to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, in terms of sport and stories and judgments and values, that's a moment of brilliance, human brilliance. Were you aware of all this going
100%.
On?
I think it was because Guardiola, he won that, the gold medal in Barcelona, and he knew what it means for the player to have the opportunity to go there and try to win a medal. And especially because sometimes professional footballers, we traveling all the time around the world, and we go to the best hotels and always business class, and that is brilliant, it's fantastic. But I think always when you're in the village there, in the, everyone is in the same situation. It's something more amateur, you know, that spirit, amateur spirit that you had in the past when you were kids, and then you were, you know, all those values, efforts, you know, that we were talking before is in there in the village. Remember going to have a meal and taking the play and having the food, you know, on my own, and having Rafa Nadal in the same situation, Kobe Bryant there asking for the burger in Burger King. Everyone are in the same situation, apart from being a big star, and this is something that I really appreciated when it was there.
As a group, when you find out he's going to join you, you kind of go, right, hey, we're going to win this. Or...
Well, we were a really good team. Up front, it was him, it was Riquelme, it was Aguero, Lavezzi, you know, Mascherano was there. You know, we were a good team. And of course, we were looking to win it. That was not easy because it was tough, especially because we played Holland and then we played Brazil in the semi-final. Ronaldinho was there and Brazilian, they were looking to win the gold medal as well. So,
and then
we played against Nigeria
again
at midday in China in August. You can imagine it was...
It was Nigerian weather.
Yeah, it was Nigerian weather. They were running up and down, and we were like... It was tough, and we won with a fantastic goal.
Tell me about
Di Maria.
The beauty of that goal. That is one of the all-time most beautiful goals.
It was a finish. You know, it was so... even that was me in front of the goalkeeper in one-on-one situation in the final. No chance to do what Di Maria has done. You know, but...
The turn and pass is... Is Messi. He's so deep where he's playing now. Turns and he just the right foot is like a snooker pass.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't move. It just and goes. It glides. And the timing,
the,
right?
Yeah, the time is always the right timing. It's fantastic. You know, you don't have to look at it when Messi got the ball. You just need to make the run, and you know, you will know the ball will be there.
It's like he sees every bite.
Di Maria's finish here was unbelievable.
So if you correct me if I'm wrong. So Di Maria's running onto it. The keeper says, I'm going to come and make a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ball is kind of slightly to the right foot of Di Maria.
Yeah.
But he uses his left foot to kind of play a Seve Ballesteros golf shot. Get under it, dink it with his left, going to the right. And it just loops over the keeper from
fantastic.
A big distance. It's good.
It was fantastic. It was one of those finishes. You know, that is the quality that I was talking before. You know, those players, they got that cool mind to do those things in those moments, you know, because it's something natural.
Mm.
As I say, maybe another player, he tried to finish it in a different way, but if you know Di Maria, he always tries those things, chipping the ball. He scored a few more goals doing the same thing than in Real Madrid and Benfica, you know.
You're humouring me so far, but we've talked about two left foot goals, and I think your goal, against Brazil is equally yeah. good. That's his good foot and it's your bad yeah. foot. So I'm giving your goal the same prize and points. Talking about moments people choose to do things. You played in a really, really good Espanyol team. Really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, yeah.
You won the cup fantastically against yeah. the Zaragoza side,
yeah.
who put 6 and 7 against Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, they got beat. Yeah, incredible.
I mean, how did they get to the final?
That was funny because then I was with Milito's brothers. We were...
Diego up front,
Gabi at the back. And after that game, we went to play... friendly games with the national team, and we were there talking about the game, and I was saying in Latin, I'm so sorry, I can't believe, I think as a Zaragoza fan, to beat Barcelona, to beat Real Madrid in 2 games.
And they hammered them.
And they hammered them in 2 games. It's not like an FA Cup here that you win, you lose, you go through, or you... No. Two games, home and away. And they lost 4-1 against us in the final. Yeah, we were good at that.
They never played.
No. We were a better team during the whole game. And that Zaragoza team was really strong team. But as you said before, at that time, the 3 years spent with Espanyol, we were a strong group of players with a great mentality and with big players because Tamudo, Luis Garcia, Riera... Van de la Peña, then Rufete came, Pandiani.
And two more I need to ask you about. Pochettino, who I spent
Mauricio, yeah.
an hour and a half with 2 weeks ago down at his enormous training ground.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And that man, like you, loves his football. Argentinians don't just know how to play and coach football. They can talk football.
Yeah.
What kind of teammate? I guess you knew then he'd be a manager, right?
He was my first season at Espanyol, and he was that was his last season as a player because he retired after that. I knew at that time that Pochettino was going to be a manager for sure. You know, he was 34, 35. He was not playing regular, you know. He was a really important player to have in the team, in the squad, because he was a very experienced player, you know, always talking to everyone. And now he's doing a great job as a manager. He's done it for the Espanyol because he took Espanyol when they were in a relegation zone. And he was, I think, for the manager, for the first time to take, the charge of a team who is in the bottom three that you don't have experience, but that shows his personality, you know.
He goes to the camp now, wins 2-1.
They won 2-1. De La Peña scored twice that game. And then went to Southampton. He's done fantastic, and now he's doing a great job in Spurs.
I think I need to ask, and it's up to you, but... There's one teammate there who isn't alive anymore. And I remember Andres Iniesta has a book out right now where the people that worked with him went to speak with Danny Harkey's wife, who hadn't watched football all the way up to the World Cup final. And her mum said, we need to watch the World Cup final. It's Spain. And she can't watch and she's washing her hair. And her mum's watching the game. And Andres scores.
When he
runs to the corner and lifts his shirt off. Siempre, Danny. And Danny's mother-in-law calls the daughter. Come through, come see.
Really special moment.
Are you watching the game in that moment?
Yeah, watching. Yeah, I was watching it. I was with Manchester City in USA for the pre-season. We all been watching that game. First, obviously, when I remember was in Disbury watching TV and I heard about that news and I couldn't believe it. I took the phone. I made a call to Ivan de la Peña because they were also in a pre-season.
They were up near Girona.
And he was dead. Everyone. He was such a lovely guy.
Yeah.
He was captain. And also with a... He was having a great moment. Everyone was talking him like one of the centre-back for Spain. And, there were a few clubs interesting on him as well. So it's a shame. It was a shame. Real shame, you know. Then, of course, that's why Iniesta, I think, apart from being a great player, he got the massive respect from everyone, especially from Espanyol fans, because sometimes the rivalry is, in those moments, you know, doesn't matter. It's just about being a lovely human, a lovely person, and they know each other as well, so... I think always Iniesta is there when it's a moment to remember Danny.
was a beautiful moment, and I just knew that you'd appreciate it like me, because we get lost sometimes in arguments or fights or polemic around football. We don't need to.
There
are people of values, and there are people who make good human choices in sport, and it's worth remembering them too. Then rolling towards the end, I don't know if we need to show you the tape of winning the league against QPR, where you save another goal.
You got to go there.
Same thing.
We probably
could look at it. Let's look at the winner.
I love when the people remember that I scored in that game, because
you opened the scoring. Yeah?
Yeah, but no one talk about my goal. That's why I'm saying it.
It's the big goal.
This is a fluke. Everyone remembers the Aguero's goal. Believe me, when I scored in that game, at half time, I thought that game must finish 1-0. So I will be the hero of the day, the hero of the city. And then when they equalised the game and they scored the second goal, I thought, I can't believe it. You know, I don't score so many goals in each season. And it was my first and only goal in that season, but it was an important game. And that's why I thought at half time, that should finish 1-0. But no, I don't want to watch it, please, because it made me feel so nervous. I cannot watch that game.
It's a difficult question for every sportsman. But do you remember the drama and the emotion of the day?
No, I think I lost all my hair in that game.
Well, what happened to me? Maybe watching it.
No, it was incredible. I think you can do like a film with that. You know, if we needed to finish that season in one way, that was the way to finish the league, because we had a lot of up and downs during the season. You know, don't forget that we were a club that 8 years ago we were, you know, every season it was a new challenge, new players coming in, and then in that mentality that you need to compete with the best and a lot of things. But you know, believe me, in the way we won that game, as I say, I'm still not watching it, because I'm still feeling. I remember that day, and
the emotion is there.
The emotion as a player, the emotion is there. I can't believe, as a fans, who they were there watching on TV. If it was the City fans, I don't know. You know, at the end of in Sky, when they talking about different leagues from 2009 and watching games, or when you play against some team, they show different games from the past. And every time I watch it on TV, that game, and I see when the camera goes to those City fans just smashing, you know. It was something, you know, incredible, amazing, because as a fan, you've just been waiting. For how long you've been waiting for that moment to win the league, to lift the trophy? And against a team, it was already safe, because Bolton went down 3 minutes ago. I remember someone, or Matt Hughes, or some of his assistant, shouting to the QPR players, say, "We are safe," because the Bolton game, it was finished. I don't know who they were playing against. I think it was Stoke, I think that was the key of the game, because when they knew they were safe, when we scored the second goal, if you look at the game, they don't play the ball back, and when they play from the middle, they play the ball back. If they do like
just keep ball,
so keep the ball, 3-4 touches, they pass to the goalkeeper, control and kick the ball, finish.
It's game over.
But someone just kicked the ball away.
Gives it away, more or less.
You know, it was something strange. Puts the ball back, and someone just kicked the long ball there. So Shaw went running. He took the ball, he made the throw into someone, then he passed it to De Jong. And that's why we, in those 30 seconds, we won the league.
Mentality.
But thank you for the guy for QPI who kicked you took that decision in that moment.
And heartbreaking, obviously, for the other half of the city. I guess you still feel kind of sad for them up in Sunderland.
We were looking at the display, the images in, and they were celebrating, and then their faces. It was funny. It was so funny.
Football is beautiful. We're finishing on a technical point because we'd be loyal to not keep you here forever. But technically, we've been bombarded with questions. And some people, they're not all for answering. Some people say, why did you choose City, not Juventus, when you left Espanyol? Others wanted to know a little bit about how you've adapted, why this place is someone that's made you fall in love with it. But the biggest question that we've had is about the evolution of right-back play under your different managers here.
Yeah.
From wing-back, right-back, and also the drills. What are you being asked to do now in learning every day in training?
Yeah.
Positional play, is it a big change? Are the drills under this manager pretty different from what's being asked of you tactically every day in the other managers? Take us into the training ground.
Well, all the managers are different. They have different style of play. And right back is one of those positions where you are not the star of the team. You just need to do your job for the team. I can name probably 3 or 4 full backs who in the last 10 years, maybe they have a massive influence when they were in the team and when they were not in the team. That maybe Maicon when he was at Inter, Dani Alves in Barcelona, Philip Lamp.
Maybe Zanetti?
Zanetti when he was... but then he's one of those positions where, from my point of view, all you need is just be a consistency player, you know, week in, week out. And of course, sometimes the manager with the style of play, they prefer a fullback who likes to support in attack all the time, you know, go up and down and try to create you know, situation 2 against 1 right the wing, or another managers just prefer a fullback who can defend more, who is tactically got more sense to play. Now with Guardiola, we're doing a different movement as a fullback, so you're going from outside to inside to create an extra man in the middle. Since I've been here, you know, I've always been enjoying playing with all of them. I think, you know, my evolution, been progressing really well as a player with all of them. And, of course, I'm not getting any younger. But, as I say, you need to be... Consistency is the key for that position. And be secure and be a player who always the manager can trust and do the job for the team. I know I'm not... a technical player like Silva, like Yaya, like Aguero. If I pretend to do their job, no, something will be wrong. You know, as I need them because of their quality, they will need me for my work of rate, or because we are players that we work harder than them on the pitch because of the characteristics of the players are different. And real team, the good team is where all the mix, you know, work together. And I think always, you know, this is my 9th season at City, and for me, when I first came here, it was a really hard decision because Manchester City was not the club it is today. It was a different club with less ambitions, but I wanted to come to the Premier League. For me, as a player, I'm always, when I was young, I've been watching Premier League games, and for me to come here to have the experience to play here, at that time it was great. But then, of course, when the big money came into the club, it was a massive challenge for myself to prove and see, I can prove myself that I want to be part of this football club. Even if they can spend 50, 60 million in the best right back, I need to show myself that I'm prepared for this, am I ready for this? And I've been working hard for that, and today I can say that I won a few trophies. I played more than 300 appearances for the club, and that made me feel very proud.
I think that's an understatement. You should. Pablo Zabaleta, Olympic champion.
Mm.
Pablo Zabaleta, the man who brought the Manchester City fans that title. And Pablo Zabaleta, the man the manager can rely on. Thank you very much.
No problem. It's a pleasure. But good next time in Barcelona.
Good to talk football with a man who knows how to play it. That
I can be all day talking about football.
Now, whoa. That's a very dangerous thing to say to me. Yeah. There you go. The Big Interview is produced by Backpage and by me, Graham Hunter. Thanks as always to Beer Jacket for the music. Please don't only keep up to date with everything that we're doing at grahamhunter.tv, but sign up. It's free. There's a little box for your email address and it means that you won't miss an episode. Never mind all the podcast apps that you've got I'm undercast, overcast, wumbling free, whatever it might be. Sign up with us and we send you the podcast every time it comes out. And we tell you about little pieces of news and we allow you to get your questions to us for the guests as we announce them. There's a newsletter. It'll keep you informed with everything that the Big Interview is doing. We're on Facebook. Look for the Big Interview. We're at GH Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Please keep in touch. Let us know what you think. We do this for you, not just for ourselves, although, damn it, we do enjoy it. Thanks for being there. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.